When I look at the world, when I just literally look at the world, I look around my room, I look out the window, and it really comes to the fore when I'm meeting somebody new. When I'm looking out at these worlds, I see an infinite density, an infinite richness. Everywhere, at every, the space I see is inundated with forces, is full. It's full of itself. I don't see objects that are sitting in space. Right now I'm looking at my desk. I could say, well, here's my desk, here's a screen, here's a CPU, here's a microphone, you know, here's my cocktail. I could see all these objects as sort of occupying their space. And then between us, I suppose I could say there's just air. But that air is a something. And that something, that air, is not simply a sort of list of, molecules, I suppose, or you know, gases. It's not just nitrogen and oxygen and carbon dioxide. There's light, of course, even in the darkness, right? In the darkness, there's the darkness, right? In the light, there's the light, and in the darkness, there's darkness between things. And if I can see anything between things, I suppose there's light as well. There's so many things. There's so many waves, forces, fluctuations, you know, rays, emanations, resonances, Doppler effects that inundate and define and modulate the space between, things, the space between people. It is what I will call a plenum. A plenum is that space which is infinitely full or perfectly full, right? There's no empty space, even if the borders change, right? Even if let's say the universe flexes out in one direction or another, it doesn't flex out with or into nothing. It is an endless movement of itself. This is the concept of a plenum, which is different than imagining that there is such a thing as a vacuum in the world, right? A vacuum being the possibility, if not indeed the existence, of nothing, that there's nothing there. And I find whenever I get to that idea of nothing, I can't imagine what that is. Isn't that the world too? I mean, I guess I can picture a space or a kind of shape that's sort of almost like a black hole, but in reverse, right? So rather than sucking everything in, it repels everything. And it has a nothing, has a kind of localized vacuum. I know it's a very strange image, but I think I'll say it again, because it's kind of cool. Rather than a black hole in which everything sort of absorbs and sucks everything in, what about that same kind of density in a sense, but that a density that emanates outwards, so that it's a no space like a black hole that radiates out and rejects all everything coming into its space. But that's the only way I can imagine nothing, and to imagine nothing as this incredibly potent, very localized site is really. Come on, to imagine something, right? It's a force amongst forces. One way to think about this, and what really, you know, I guess something I've been obsessed with for a long time, and I've been aware of a long time, but sometimes it really comes into view, if you will, right? It's easy to move through life assuming that there's nothing between things. I find when I'm meeting, you know, new people, you know, you go on a date and think about that. Think about you're meeting somebody, you're meeting a date, you know, and you've never met this person in life. You've met them online and you coming to meet them. You don't just, you know, smile or speak or act as if everything is neutral. You're coming to a space that is so inflected in such complicated ways. There's your mood that day, right? Maybe you're just tired. Maybe, you know, you didn't sleep well. Maybe something's on your mind. Maybe you have something tomorrow. There's the mood of the day, right? There's all the weather, right? San Francisco weather can change very quickly. And very dramatically, even in a very, you know, San Francisco's funny because it doesn't swing very hot or very cold, but within, let's say, 50 to 68, you get a ton of internal variation. It's like a pleated weather system, all these little micro changes and folds. So, you know, there I am, you know, or there you are, or there one is, you know, you're going on a date and you're meeting at some place. You know, it's funny, we choose places based on their mood, right? Based on, okay, I don't want to go someplace where I go all the time. It seems too much my space. It's inflected historically, right? In how many times you've been there. Have you ever been there? What's your relationship to that place? How's your relationship to even knowing of that place? There's your expectations about this person, your memories triggered and your associations that sort of emanate based just on a picture. There's other people, right? There's the mood of the day, you know. You notice this in San Francisco a ton, where moods seem to just sort of take over the city, you know, sort of, you know, for like 12 blocks for an hour, you know, everyone will just sort of be a demented asshole or oblivious or, you know, sort of these literal sort of movements, these clouds, these invisible clouds of mood that seem to take over the city. You know, in more or less obtuse terms, you can think about, let's say, you know, the Giants just won the World Series, right? There's a mood on the street. There's a sound. There's an energy. There's a you know, all of a sudden, you know, when the Giants did win the World Series, you know, it was scary out there. You know, in the Mission, there were riots and all kinds of things. It was scary. There was a sense of menace and energy, and it was exciting and delirious. A kind of delirium enters. And when's this delirium, right? It's between people. It's between people, it's between an event, an association with a team, that team's relationship to its history. There's so many sort of forces at work driving, let's say, that delirium, but that's happening all the time, right? What happens in an extreme event of a team winning a World Series and a city going apeshit is constantly happening, just at different levels of intensity and distribution. So rather than all being congregated in one place, there are these more sort of local zones of flurrying sparks of mood, right? You know, you go on the BART of the train. You know, it's called BART here, the Bay Area Rapid Transit System, at rush hour, which I generally don't have to do and don't do often and avoid when I can, but sometimes I forget and I'm meeting somebody and I find myself in, you know, in a BART car during rush hour. Oh my God, there, that mood from that energy. I mean, capitalism really, you know, it's not subtle, right? I mean, it just sucks the soul right out of people. It just sucks their vitality. So you're on this train with all these sort of husks. That's why I love that movie, Shaun of the Dead. Really understood that's zombieism is a very real sort of output of capitalism. So back to the setting, you know, I'm going on a date, you're going on a date, you're meeting someone for the first time. Between you and this person, there is not nothing. You're not just coming there and you're looking at this person in some neutral state and offering whatever it is you're feeling or thinking or knowing. Everything you're thinking, feeling, and knowing is shaping the space between you and that person. You come with your brow is furrowed or open or smiling, or you're you know what Althusser, the you know Marxist critic would say, you know, you're interpolated, you're hailed, you're already known. You're already, that space is already saturated with ideology, with history, and with the cosmos, with the sun and the clouds and the play of light and day, and sun flares and distant sounds of traffic and sirens and excitement and moaning, and between you and someone else, between you and your screen, between you and your hand, as you look at it, there is an infinite richness. That space is full, man. It is full. It is full of fucking everything. It is full of gases and smells and all sorts of refractions of light. It is filled with shadows. It is filled with a temperature. It is filled with the mood of everything happening around you, the play of light and history and temperament. The bartender, the bartenders, the person next to you, you yourself, your desire. Today you're feeling funny. You look at the person across from you, they remind you of something. You smell something, your mind goes somewhere else. You reply back, your face looks funny. That person responds. We are all entwined. We are all constitutive of this infinitely rich substance that is the in-between. From me to the wall, from me to the window, to that tree outside, to that car outside, that air, that space is full. It's full of a certain visibility, right, which we call light. But it's filled with all sorts of invisible things and concepts, history, ideology, culture, smell. I suppose invisible gases. It's when I look at the world, I really see a soup. I feel like I'm moving through a soup. And that soup is sometimes heavy, and sometimes it's a light broth. But I see the thickness, the viscosity of the space between. Maurice Merleau-Ponty, the great phenomenologist, calls this the richness, the infinite density of the space between things, he calls the flesh of the world. And he claims that the flesh is akin to an element. Earth, wind, air, fire, flesh. It's the affective modulation, the endless planar modulation of mood that defines and shapes interactions. One thing I love about the Matrix is when they're being shot. And that great scene, Neo, Keanu Reeves on the roof, and the agents are shooting him, and he's ducking out of the way, and the bullets aren't going through nothing. The bullets are going through a certain viscosity, a viscosity of the stuff of the air. And that's how the machines interpret that space. They interpret, right? Because the Matrix, those bullets are flying through the Matrix, which is a program, right? Kind of like a video game, right? It's a Second Life. And the way the machines understand, interpret, make sense of, and program the space between things and between people is as it's spatially occupied. It is thick. It is viscous. The bullets don't just fly on a rope through nothing, but are continually breaking through, penetrating, driving through stuff, right? This thing that Merleau-Ponty would call flesh. Flesh. And for Merleau-Ponty, the flesh of the world is where, how, and it's the location and the possibility of knowledge. Right? The scientific tradition is premised on a vacuum, on objectivity, on let's see what happens under ideal conditions. Merleau-Ponty comes along and says, you know, the only way we know anything, the only way I can perceive is because I'm something that can be perceived, and that there's a kind of reciprocation of seer and seen, of object and subject, so they're both objects or both subjects. It's what he calls a chiasmus, an intertwining. And this intertwining happens with and through and of the flesh of the world, the plenum, the infinite density, man, the sort of the soup between things, the soup between me and you, the beautiful thickness of the cosmos that is fluctuating and modulating between all things all the time.